Yes, I am.
Great.
I am recording. Okay. So, today is Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday. And before we get started, I wanted to kick it off with happy birthday, Dr. Martin Luther King. We've come a long way. And with the things that have happened in D.C. and the incoming inauguration of Joe Biden, it's going to really be interesting to see how this thing is going to play out, you know. And so happy birthday, Dr. Martin Luther King. Let's toast it up.
Yes, happy birthday, Dr. Martin Luther King.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Set the way for us all.
Yeah.
Ray's gone.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So thank you all for joining me tonight on this inaugural Sip and Tip Happy Hour, sponsored by Jackie R. Hot and Mobile. That's me. And I guess I wanted to take a couple of minutes to kind of just give you all an idea of who I am. You can read my bio out on DWN. I was very vulnerable, Dr. Holly, in presenting who I am, you know, talking about, you know, my homelessness, not once, but twice, and how that, you know, having a strong faith and belief in a spiritual being that you pay attention to and give and is obedient to what you're being told to do. I was allowed to end up in Dallas, Texas as the communications director, Dr. Foreman, the only one, okay, in management, and set a goal for the last 6 years to be able to save enough money to be able to retire.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, it was a struggle, but, and we'll talk about that, Dr. Foreman, when we get to the next Sip and Tip in February about being the only one, whether that's a woman or a black woman in any given situation. So my story is, like I was telling you all, I mean, I've been in technology since the Selectric typewriter, okay, when they switched from, you know, having a little tape and the whiteout to the correcting tape, the correcting typewriter, okay. So my experience goes back a very long time, and I could see then the need for me to be able to keep up with technology. And so as I move forward through the years, I mean, I've done a lot. I've been a managing editor for a newspaper. I mean, I've done communications, graphic design, web design, all sorts of things. And so now that I was able to retire, I'm not chasing the money anymore. I am really set now. And so my goal is to help other people, help other women, even men, find their groove in terms of understanding how technology works, the things that you can do when you're out and about, when we get to that point when we can move out and meet and greet other people, whether it's at a cafe or whether it's at a conference or whether it's on the train and you're meeting people, because we all have these smartphones. And my thing is, we need to be smarter than the phones.
Okay. I love it. I love that tagline, Jackie.
Yeah, be smarter than the phone, okay? And you know, Dr. Holly, I've got a speaking engagement coming up on cybersecurity, because that's another one of my focus, is that even though we have these smart devices, you know, and we hear about hacking from Russia, you know, and they say it's from the government facilities or major businesses, we on the lower level need to also have protection on our phone, because we conduct business on our phone. We have financial apps, okay? And there are situations that have occurred, which a friend of mine just told me the other day that he was hacked and lost a lot of money based on the
fact that you must be talking about my business partner.
Yeah, I'm talking about your business partner. He told me the story, and I'm feeling really bad about that, because you get an email and the email says do this, but you're not sure where that email is coming from. And it ends up to where, you know, you can lose a lot of money. So we will be talking about cybersecurity in an upcoming event on February the 4th. Now, we've got five people, Dee, Dr. Holly, Dr. Foreman, and we got Rory in the house. Dee is not on camera because she's looking at her bandwidth. And so I think having everybody's microphones unmuted for now will work just fine. And so we'll continue with what we're doing here, Rory. And that is, now we were supposed to have a, let me sip another thing wine.
Well, we are still having a pitch competition. We'll just move it later into the program,
yeah,
but we can flip
it into the program
and go into our topic.
Yeah. To see who comes online. So it, with that being said, and I just took another sip, let's talk about wine, Dr. Foreman. What are you drinking?
I am drinking Barefoot Bubbly Moscato. This is my everyday drink. Well, I'm not going to say every day.
Why not?
Yeah. However, I am a Cabernet Sauvignon girl. That's the, my really, my drink of choice. And as I was telling Jackie, I'm in an educational wine club called the South Side Wine Divas.
Nice.
Yes.
So I'm learning, you know, my nose, I'm developing my nose and my palate so that when I go to a fancy dancy restaurant, I can say, I would like a cab from 2017 with such and such grapes, such and such nose, palates, flavors, whatever.
Go ahead, girl.
That's
okay.
Let me recommend to you very highly is a trip to the wine country for you to really develop your palate.
To Napa Valley?
Either Sonoma or Napa, either one.
Okay.
And do about 5 days. You'll be right when you come back.
Good and drunk.
Right.
Okay, so what are you drinking, Rory?
I'm drinking a Cala Mocha.
Coca-Cola?
You mix wine with Coke is what they recommend.
Oh.
Okay. Part wine, one part wine, one part or other carbonated soft drink. And it's been a popular drink in Spain since the 70s.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
And so, it's called what?
Cala Mocha.
Cala Mocha.
And that's M-O-C-H-O. Part wine.
C-H-O.
Part wine and part Coca-Cola, Dr. Holly.
Part wine, part cup. Well, you know they mixing Coca-Cola. They mixing wine now to make everything.
I can't do the Coca-Cola part, but I, okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't really drink, so.
Oh, okay. I understand that.
Okay, what about you, Dee Burrows? What you drinking?
Kombucha. I don't drink myself. I've been teetotal probably for the last 5 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What flavor of kombucha?
Strawberry.
Okay, strawberry. Now that's kombucha is strong because it doesn't it have
fermented. Fermented.
It's fermented.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
For us vegans.
You know, my family owns a vegan vegetarian restaurant in Atlanta in the West End called Healthful Essence.
Right.
Yes. What? And so they make Caribbean style, soulful vegan vegetarian. So you can check them out on their website called healthfulessence.com.
I should. I mean, Atlanta, I have family in Cobb County.
Okay.
I'm always there. Mm-hmm.
What about you, Dr. Holly? What are you drinking?
I'm also drinking something by Barefoot, but this is just their regular Moscato.
Okay.
Yeah. I usually spike it with a splash of vodka, but I wanted to be a little bit more sober-minded for today's presentation.
Fair enough.
Okay.
I love it.
Well, I'm drinking Sangre del Toro.
Okay.
And this is original red blend. It's vibrant red wine made from Mediterranean grapes, flavorful with good structure and fruit aroma. It's not dry. And as I was telling Dr. Fortman, when I went to Spain a couple of years ago, I developed a taste for red wine because I had been a Riesling drinker for a long time. I like Riesling. But now I like this red wine, Rory.
Mm-hmm.
It's very fruity. It's not too dry. And as a matter of fact, I think we all need to take a sip of whatever we're drinking, D.
Okay.
Okay, now I had wanted to do the 60 minutes competition, but you know, we don't have that many in the room right now. But Dr. Fortman, would you like to do a 66 seconds pitch?
Okay, let's see. Okay. Are you going to time me? Because I don't have a timer in front of me.
Hold on just a second. And Dee Burrows, you're going to be also up on next on the competition, okay?
Okay, sure.
All right. So let me get to the, hold on, let me get the clock. Clock, 1 minute is 60 seconds. You ready, Dr. Fortman?
Uh-huh.
All right, go.
Have you ever been in a situation where no matter what you said, you were misunderstood either in your personal life or in your professional life? I have been in both situations. And I'm sure you probably have been too, or know someone who has been in that situation. Well, now I am an expert on teaching people how to use effective communication to get their point across in their personal and their professional lives. In other words, to get your voice being heard.
Good.
Thank you.
Good job, good job.
How many seconds was that?
Okay, so you had about 10 seconds left in your 60, okay? You had about 10 left to go, so you could have added a little bit more, but that was excellent. The who, what, when, where, and how of your 60-second pitch. Okay, wonderful. Got that, Dr. Holly?
Yes, so I'm definitely giving you a 5 for the wow factor because you let me know like how I could instantly understand what the problem was that you're solving. The enthusiasm was there. So I'll give you a 5 for that. You were clear in communicating in your delivery. A 5 for that. The areas that I think that you can improve on would be giving me a little bit more on a credibility so that I would be interested in buying. So for example, I don't know your name. I don't know the name of your company. I do know what you are looking to solve and what you are doing to contribute to that, right? But who are you?
Excellent point.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I thought about that after when I said thank you. I thought, ooh, I didn't say my name.
Yeah.
Like, right.
Exactly. Okay. And so, yeah. And then to wrap up, I don't know your ask. So are you asking for mentors? Are you asking for $20,000? What is your mission seeking? What is your company seeking? What are you seeking?
Okay.
What's your CTA? Call to action.
My call to action, right. Yep. I did not have a call to action. You're correct.
Okay. Well, very good.
No, you did, but you did a really, really good job. It was very succinct and to the point. But with those 10 last seconds, I can see where you could have really zoned in and just really wrapped it up. But you did an excellent job.
Thank you.
All right. Good. You ready, D?
I am indeed, although I have a practice.
Practice? You ready to go?
I haven't done a pitch since my BNI days, but let's go.
Okay, hold on just a minute. I'm gonna tell you when to go. Breathe, girl, breathe.
1 second, I'm just gonna
take a sip.
Yep, we'll do.
You ready?
Tell me when you're ready. Yes, I am.
Go.
Trust, communication, self-love, lack of self-esteem. I am Dee Boris. I'm your mindset strategist. I help individuals who are overwhelmed and frustrated to live in life on their terms. I utilize NLP coaching and mental health modalities to support my clients. In these uncertain times, a lot of us are not certain what we want to do in terms of our personal and professional lives. We are racked with imposter syndrome, self-sabotage, and limiting beliefs. We're on a treadmill, probably an hamster wheel, and we don't know where to turn. I will support you. I will hold you accountable. I will also handhold you to live in life on your terms. Who am I after? I'm after anyone.
Okay.
Hey, that's a quick 60 seconds.
That's a quick 60 seconds. And that's all, the attention span of most people is 60 seconds.
Yeah.
Especially in if you're in a room networking and they ask you what you do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What you got on that one, Dr. Holly?
So the enthusiasm is shining through, very bright. So I'll give you a 5 definitely on that. I think you definitely have the communication skills, but to make it a little bit clearer, those adjectives that you used in the beginning, I think you can put them towards the end where you were asking questions about to your audience or phrasing what you can help them through. I get your credibility. So you definitely got a 5 in that area. The wow did get me at the beginning when you started to throw out different adjectives, but then you introduced yourself. So I was a little kind of, again, not clear on how the adjectives lined up into who you are as a person. So I would suggest maybe putting them farther down. So I love it how you talked about who you are, you know, what you do, what you're looking to solve, right? But I know that you ran out of time, but I still need to know, like, what are you seeking from me if I'm an investor or an angel investor? What are you seeking?
CTA. Mm-hmm. It always boils down to the CTA, call to action. What do you want me to do? Okay. Yeah. So that's very good. Very good, D. I was excited. That captured my attention. So that was very good. Rory, you want to do one?
Yeah, I can do one.
Oh, excellent. Hold on just a minute. Let me start the timer. Let me know when you're ready.
Okay, I mean, since everybody's participating, I can do one. Tell me when you're ready.
Okay, we lost D. I'm ready. Go.
You'll come back.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Rory Callahan, and I am a partner at Brown Financial Group, and we specialize in student insurance and insurance for public sector groups. With that said, I'd like to sit down with you for a few minutes just to sit down and see if there's any way that we can help you. I'm done.
No CTA?
I'd like to sit down and see if we could help you.
But what do you offer?
Student insurance and employee benefits.
Okay. Okay. So I think that you want to definitely, I love that you mentioned your name, who you represent. I think you can go a little bit in talking about what you offer. So then that way I can identify, one, if I need to sit down and speak with you. Because what if I sit down and speak with you and you don't offer what I need?
Okay, Rory, you had about 40 seconds left in your pitch. Now, I get where you cut it to 20 seconds because, you know, if you could get as much information you can in that 20 seconds, sometimes that's all you have. But that additional 40 seconds, like Dr. Holly was saying, would give you at least more time to explain a little bit more about what you're doing.
Yeah.
I don't know if do you think there's a difference between the way women communicate, you know, our objective, or the way men communicate when you are talking to a man or another?
You know, when you've got to do your 30-second elevator pitch, or if you've got a minute for an elevator pitch, you know, each time is different. And, you know, so I don't think there's any difference. I just think you don't use it as often as we probably all should. And so I've had better elevator speeches at different times in my career. And so if you're busy, you got to book a business, you're not really pitching someone every day, then it gets sour, you know, it gets sour. So I've had times and opportunities that at which I may go to a conference and then I know that I'm going to be running into a lot of people, or I'm going to be trying to introduce myself. Welcome back, Dee. Trying to introduce myself to some more people. I may then at that point say, you know what, I need to tighten up my elevator speech this week because I know I'm going to be running into a few people, or I know I'm trying to meet a few people. So I need to tighten up my elevator speech. But I probably, you know, with COVID, I probably haven't used my elevator speech probably in, you know, 6 months. Okay.
So, Dr. Holly, what did you hear within those 30 seconds? It was 20 seconds.
I was clear on who he was, the company that he represented. I had no idea what they offered. I didn't know what they helped with or what problems that they solve. I didn't know what he was looking for. If he was looking for an investor or a mentor, a social media marketer, I didn't know what his needs were. He did mention saying, like, you know, I can sit down with you to see what your needs are. But when you're doing a pitch, you're pitching to someone who, again, is going to provide whatever it is you're looking for, in-kind donations, monetary, whatever. So it came off as if that he was pitching to maybe a potential client versus someone who could provide him with additional resources and or funding.
Yeah, and primarily, since, you know, we're not looking for funding.
Okay.
We're primarily looking for customers. So we it's very seldom that we've been pitching to look for funding.
So, and that's not a problem, but what if I have an agency that doesn't provide your service, but I can link you into my network of clients and I can just funnel them over to you and they can be referrals?
Correct.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't, listen, you could just be asking for somebody to donate 20 pairs of used gym shoes and it may not be money. That's totally fine. But if you want clients to be referred to your agency, then that's your ask.
Correct.
Yep.
Got it.
Excellent. Welcome back, Dee. We see you. Are you unmuted?
I'm unmuted.
Okay, good.
I think that
my apologies. Yeah.
Okay, no problem. So, Dr. Foreman, you got good tips on your 60-second elevator pitch. Dee, you got some good tips on your 60-second elevator pitch. And Rory, we appreciate you getting your 60 second.
My 20 seconds.
20 seconds. Get your 20 seconds in. And Dr. Holly and her offering her expertise in terms of offering some helpful tips that could enhance your pitch as you move forward. So thank you, Dr. Holly.
You're welcome. And thank you to everybody who presented.
And thank you.
You guys did a very good job.
Dr. Foreman, Dee, and Rory.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Oh, I'll drink to that.
Take another sip.
Get you a sip, Rory. Get you a sip.
You see me? I raised my little
Coke can.
7.5 ounce can of Coke.
Oh, that is so funny.
That is. It is. All right. Now listen. Part of tonight's event was for me to be able to introduce to you a couple of books. That's part of what we're doing, Dr. Foreman and Dee and Rory, in terms of reading materials, because I know for me, I had internet subscriptions to Hulu, to YouTube TV, Apple TV, you name it. I had subscriptions to it, but as I reached the new year of 2021, we look at our end of year budget and we say, okay, what is the purpose of having these subscriptions? How can I best utilize my time in order to educate my mind? And so I have, Amazon Kindle. Where I've downloaded books such as Michelle Obama's Becoming. I have Obama's book. I have some other books that deal with cybersecurity and the things that are important to me in my industry. And so instead of spending a lot of time watching TV, I am now using 2021 to, you know, better educate myself. And so the books that we are recommending for January include two books, and one of them was brought to me by Donna Bennett. And Rory, Donna Bennett owns a bed and breakfast in Marion, Alabama, and it's called Bennett's Bed and Breakfast. And so if you are doing a open enrollment or you are soliciting for clients in the Birmingham, Alabama area, check out her bed and breakfast in Marion, Alabama, called the Bennett Bed and Breakfast. As a matter of fact, she's not too far from Coretta Scott King's home base where she was born and raised. And so Donna Bennett recommended this book called Bring On the Blessings by Beverly Johnson, which you guys should have gotten in your emails that I've sent out. And it has to do with the subject matter that we're going to be talking about this evening. And in addition to that particular book, our guest, Dr. Holly Sawyer, has written a book called Get Your Mind Right, Get Your Money Right. Okay, hold it up, Dr. Holly. Get your mind right. Get your money right. Because, it's like I said, you know, I have had my ups and downs. I was homeless two times. God provided me with an opportunity to be the communications director for a private golf and country club, and which allowed me, Rory, to use all the skills that I had developed over the years in internet marketing and graphic design and web development, okay, to do for these people, all right, and grow my money, Dr. Holly, so that I could retire, not quit, not be fired, okay, but retire.
Or laid off.
Or laid off, thank you, Jesus.
Furloughed,
none of that, okay, Rory, retired. Okay, I love saying that word, and be able to move from Dallas to Atlanta and do the things that I love doing, Dr. Fortman and Dee. And so with that, you know, Rory, you know, I've been single for a long time.
Yes, ma'am.
And I have operated a business, ladies, for a long time. And there are moments where we feel like, okay, we're doing this by ourselves, Dr. Fortman. Okay, we come home from a long day of working, or we leave from one room, which happens to be our office, and we go to the other part of the house, and we're alone and by ourselves. And so sometimes we have the desire, it's a desire, Dr. Holly, to have a mate or a business partner. Somebody that we can bounce things off of and get feedback. And so what we're going to be talking about, y'all, with Dr. Holly is really, do you really need a mate or a partner to be able to be successful in your business? So Dr. Holly, I'm going to give you a little example of something that happened to me, and we're going to talk about this, okay?
All right.
And that is some years ago, I had a contract, Rory, with a major bank in Atlanta. And the contract was so big that I needed some additional help to be able to accomplish the goals. And so I brought this young man on, all right? And he was supposed to be my partner, Dr. Holly. And for some reason, this young man decided that he didn't like the way I was running business, the way I was doing things. He didn't like how I was delegating assignments to him. So he went directly to the client, the bank. And he told the bank that I didn't know what I was doing. Now, because I had a particular relationship with the person who gave me the contract for the bank, they called me. They said, look at him. This young man has called us and said these things about you and your business. Mm. Now, we could either continue with you or just end the contract. Now, see, that's going to affect my bottom line, because I'm trying to make money to be able to provide for myself and my family. Mm-hmm. So what I had to do was cut his contract. Yep. And perform the task and the duties alone and by myself. And so, Dr. Holly, let's talk about that.
Yeah, let's unpack that.
That's a lot to unpack.
Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, the word need, that's what I zero in on. I do think that we need a village or a team or supports for us to make it. Right? Because there are no such things as a self-made millionaire. They depended on people to help them get there, right? But I think what we need to do is identify what those needs are. And if somebody is not able to meet those needs, then they may not be able to be the type of partner that you need. For example, I launched my second business in July. I needed some therapists to help me again take on the major caseload or influx of people who were seeking therapy. I made it very clear that I don't micromanage. This is a position that requires a lot of autonomy. I'm very transparent with communication, and I respect it to be returned within 24 to 48 hours. I don't send out a lot of information. Again, I don't micromanage. I just can't. Long story short, I hired a young lady who would go days without returning texts, phone calls, emails. And I eventually had to let her go. I was very clear from the interview, you come on and you do the exact opposite. So although I needed her to come on and bear the caseload, she was just not what my business needed, you know, when it comes to your bottom line.
I can see that because at that particular point, you know, if this young man was going to affect my bottom line, and it was a decision, Rory, that I had to make, either to try to appease him and attack him or what the hell are you doing, which would have cost me a lot of time and energy, or make a business decision, Dr. Fortman, you know, quick and fast and in a hurry, you're out. And decide that I have to do these things for myself. And so, Dr. Holly, it was a lesson that I learned. Like you said, the people are not, if you have a young person that's not communicating, you know, and we live in the age of smartphones, you gotta be able to communicate.
Yeah.
There's too many ways to communicate for somebody not to communicate.
Yeah.
No, seriously.
I shared, you know, some of that. One of my biggest challenges and some of the things that I've avoided now as a businessman is I've just made a decision on, you know, how big do I need or want to get? Like Jacqueline, I'm retirement age. So it's not like I'm interested in growing the largest insurance, you know, agency, black owned agency in the country. I know I can live off of a certain amount of money. And when I add employees to that whole vein of being an entrepreneur and owning your own business, that's been a large portion of my aggravation through my career being an independent businessman. I mean, employees are one of the toughest things you have as a small business. Managing them, their issues, their challenges, and we get sidetracked as small businesses because we should be spending more time marketing and we spend almost as much time managing our employees. If you have some. Now, you know, when you look up one day and you don't have any businesses because you weren't marketing when you were, you know, managing those employee problems. And finding and getting good ones is a really hard task. I mean, I've had people that I've mentored through years, prime them with the full expectation. Hey, look, when everything gets said and done, I'm going to let you buy me out. You can have it. Go forward. Take on my book of business. Just cut me a check every month. We'll be good to go.
But you know what, Rory? Mm-hmm. Okay, and this goes back to what Dr. Holly was talking about. See, you've gotten to the point now where you have a partner, and that's in Mr. Brown. And having that partnership, okay, it's kind of changed the dynamics of the business in terms of you don't have to wear a suit anymore. Okay, you guys play golf when you want to play golf. Okay, and so it goes back to how do you identify, Dr. Holly, what's good in terms of getting a partner? You know, because as far as a mate is concerned, if you have not been married to somebody for a number of years and you get to be about my age, you know, I don't know, Dr. Fortman, how you feel about it, but, you know, I'm not looking to get married anytime soon. At the same time, though, when you functioning and operating as a business, is it okay, Dr. Holly, to want to have somebody that you can, you know, run things off of, get feedback from, you know, and have a partnership, even if it's just one other person, male or female?
Okay, so to answer your question in short, yes, it's okay to have and want that desire. And even if you're in a relationship, that doesn't necessarily mean that you can go to your partner to even discuss that. They may not even be entrepreneur or business minded to even conceptualize it or understand it. They just support you and they are listening ear. So let's just go there, first of all. Because you are an entrepreneur and your spouse, your partner could be in the mindset or the paradigm of a 9-to-5 worker and really just don't get it. So yes. I don't want it to
now
be
preach on that one.
Yeah, seriously. So I don't want it to be like if I have a partner that, oh, you know, I can just go to this person and share to them the day to day. Because again, if they are in the 9-to-5 mindset, they are never going to be able to relate or understand or support. They go question. And then you start to be like, well, damn, I'm in a relationship, but this person is always questioning what I'm doing. Like, am I right? Like you start to internalize it. And so it just becomes a black rabbit hole. So to that end, whether it's a relationship, an intimate relationship, or you being a part of a community of other entrepreneurs, the people who support you, identify those one or two people and you get your support that way. And I talk about that in my book, Entrepreneur Friendships, family who are asking you, like, you still doing that thing? What are you doing with benefits? What, you let go of that good job? Mm-hmm. But I do want to kind of wrap it back around to what Rory said. He mentioned several good points. One of them was identifying, first and foremost, what your weekly, bi-weekly, monthly financial needs are. A lot of times, we don't know what we need on a weekly, monthly, or bi-weekly lens to what we need to just live comfortably. And when you have that number and know what it is, you can work backwards to identify, okay, this is what I need in place in order for me to reach that comfortable, whatever that aha number is. So if my number is, I'm just throwing a figure out there, is that I need $5,000 a month. I know if I need to hire one or two people and or if I need to bring on an intern.
Correct.
To help me with the social marketing piece. Because you're right, Rory. Marketing now, because of social media, it's a full goddamn job. Right. And if you can't necessarily hire somebody to do the marketing, do I need to look at intern because I need to hire somebody to do this piece in the insurance company? So it's kind of like, again, going back to that aha number, that sweet spot, whatever that digit is, and then seeing where you could place the need. Do I hire an intern to do XYZ and then maybe a part-time contractor or full-time employee to do this thing that I need?
Well, and I agree with you. It's just so critically important. And a couple of things is, you know, unpack all of that that you had said earlier. Like, you know, sometimes when young people come to me and say, well, I want to start a business, and they hit me with the Mr. Callahan, how can we do this? How can I do that? And once we get into some conversations after a while, I tell them very quickly, look, and it might be cold-blooded and hard. I said, look, do not, if you have a mate already, that's one thing. I can give you some advice and counsel. But do not link up with someone who doesn't and is not open to understanding what it is to be an entrepreneur, to have your own business. Because it is, it's a unique kind of scenario. Your money is up and down. One day you're rich, one day you're poor. You don't get paid every 2 weeks. You have to, you know, manipulate your bills and who you're working with to make sure that you can accommodate and keep your credit straight. And so it's a challenge. And so I tell people, hey, look, if you are thinking about getting a mate, and if you have one, then you need to find yourself an entrepreneurial mentor that has a mate, and you guys need to sit down on a regular basis and talk about what's going on with your business. So that they can at least share with your mate that this is what's happening. Because some of the worst relationships I've had have been because people don't understand why I'm working at 8 o'clock on a Friday night. Okay.
Dr. Foreman, and
getting paid, you know, how do you operate on, you know, maybe getting paid once a month? How do you operate on that?
Right.
You know, you got to have a lot of discipline.
Right.
So, you know, I would say to a certain degree, all of us as entrepreneurs need people that you can have intimate conversations with about your business. That's, in my mind, that's mentally healthy for you, that you can say, you know what? I haven't done my last two quarterly tax statements, you know, and not feel like you're going to be judged, you know, by it.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
If you go into Jackson Hewitt to do your taxes once a year, that ain't the same as if you own a corporation.
And you got to pay those quarterly taxes.
You got to pay those quarterly. It's a whole different scenario.
Why not pay quarterly taxes?
Dr. Holly, give me just a quick second. Dr. Foreman, what has been your experience in terms of partnerships or a mate?
Okay. I want to go all the way back to employees versus a team. When I first started out, I had employees. And to me, that really doesn't work. So what I decided to do is to have a team. And I think when you have a team and you explain to them your goals and your mission, and they buy into it, then you don't really have that kind of employee-employer type, you know, kind of relationship. You have a team who wants not only you to grow, that they want your business to grow, and in turn, they grow. And so it takes a while to really find a good team, mm-hmm. but that's where I am as far as, because to me, I've had employees, that doesn't work. Okay, and as far as mate is concerned or partner, I don't have a partner, but I do have a mate. I've been married for about 11 years, marriage number 3. So, you know,
right.
The third time is the charm. So, you know, do it till you get it right. But anyway, he is not entrepreneur. He does not have that frame of mind. However, you have to find out if you have a mate, you have to find out where they can fit in. Now, as far as the day-to-day and running of the business or anything like that, no. But as far as giving me some suggestions for him being on the outside, some insights into things, so that's where he is. So that's where I know, you understand? So we don't have an issue as far as me running the business. He knows, like, well, it's a Friday night and here I am online sitting downstairs. Okay. So you have to know where to put them, like whatever pigeonhole you want to put them in. Now, I do have a friend who has a business of her own. Now, we're not really partners, but we are involved in each other's businesses. And so I rely on her judgment. She relies on mine. So I think it comes to where your relationships are and where you know they best fit in, so you don't really have conflict.
Okay, so let me ask Dr. Holly this, because Dr. Holly, part of your story is that you're married and you have kids, right? And so how does that fit into, you know, the fact that you are here at 8 o'clock in the evening and you know, you're participating as my guest on this Sip and Tip? I mean, is there a level of understanding, you know, or how have you been able to work through that?
So I've been married for 15 years. My children are ages 12 and 14. And I talk about this again in my book, where Saturday is family day. I don't see any clients. I don't take no calls. I don't answer emails. Saturday is their day. Friday night is usually date night for me and my husband. However, even though he is, I would say, in a paradigm of a 9-to-5 employee, he wholeheartedly support me, because we have come to an understanding that every business that I have, they are our children. Okay. And they add to the financial pool. So you don't necessarily have to, you know, love it, but my husband does have a common respect for it. And he knows how much I value and how much it adds to me as a person. Sundays, I do see clients, but not all day. But later in the afternoon, that's a bonding daughter day. That's what I do with my daughter. We literally grease each other's scalps. We polish each other's nails. And every Sunday, we rotate and identify a movie that we can watch together. I've had that tradition with her since she was about maybe 6, and she's 12. So it's not like it's an either or, because that goes back to the busy woman, whether you are an entrepreneur or 9-to-5er, that you have to choose. No, you don't. It's all back to time management.
Time management, priority.
Right, exactly. And how everybody has their time and space to be prioritized. So there are days where the business is priority and there are days where the business is not. There are days when my husband's priority. There are days when my children are a priority. But again, you find time to balance that. And I think it's easier for me because I'm an entrepreneur.
And it is.
Yeah. And in closing, I just want to say, just to kind of piggyback on Rory's last point about if you're a corporate entity about paying quarterly taxes. I'm not a corporate entity, but I do pay quarterly taxes just because at the end of that tax season, I don't want to be hit with the good bill. Is it required of me? No, but I do it as a good practice so that when I do go to my CPA and I say, here's all my expenses, all the monies that I've accrued, my income, I don't want to be hit with the huge bill. So if I pay a little bit as I go every 3 months, then for me, I just find it useful.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things I also tell people is, look, there's three things that you got to have as an entrepreneur. And you got to have a relationship on these three levels. One is with your accountant. Two is with your bank. And three is with an attorney.
Yes.
And if you don't have those three things, you ain't serious about being in business.
I agree.
Yeah, okay. Very true.
Playing at being an entrepreneur.
You are.
You're a real entrepreneur. You're playing at it. Yeah. So, you know, when you don't develop those kinds of relationships, and I mean, you know, hey, this is my attorney. Now you can fire him and change and not have a good one, but this is my attorney and this is my banker. And, you know, I make a point that the bank knows exactly who I am when I walk in that door.
Right.
Because I know not when I'm going to need them. Okay. And then I will practice my pitch.
Yeah.
Okay. When I need to get some money from them. But it is. And Jacqueline, I tell you, you got to surround yourself with entrepreneurs and partners and people that you can have a relationship with in order to kind of fill both, if at nothing, that professional void. Uh-huh. That whole personal void, you know, out here now, you know, out here in these streets, that's a whole different story.
And you got to not listen to naysayers because, I retired actually from the Chicago Public Schools in 2007. And so even now I get, oh, girl, when you going to sit down? Why are you doing that? and so you got to kind of, you know, they have their place.
Yep.
I don't share with them about my business or anything because I know I'm not going to get that support. So you're right, Rory. You really have to surround yourself with like-minded people and people who are going to support you, lift you up, and not try to tear you down.
Yeah.
Because they don't understand your goal, because it's your goal. It's what you want to do. And whatever spiritual guidance that you've been given and for the path that you're supposed to take, they may not understand it and they may not be able to walk that same path with you. And then you have to decide whether or not you want to bring them along. And then it gets to the point where it gets tiring, where, you know, you're trying to explain that this is what you're trying to do, you know, and they're not adding any constructive value whatsoever. And so that's like for me at the end of every year, I have to evaluate who were the people who journeyed with me through 2020? Mm-hmm. Now, at the end of the year, I have to make some decision in terms of who's coming with me into 2021. And if you didn't add any constructive value, then I'm just going to wish you well on the other side. But I have to keep moving, Dr. Holly, because there are things that I have been, charges that I've been given in terms of my purpose in life, Rory, and the things that I'm supposed to be doing. And again, I'm grateful, D, for the fact that I'm not chasing the money anymore. And so I could, Dr. Foreman, sit back, drink wine, travel the world and do whatever I want to do, but I've been given a talent that deals with the internet and marketing and smartphones and devices that I've been working with since 1999. So why give that up now?
Right.
I'm still clothed in my right mind every day that I wake up. And so I joined this organization where I met you guys, the DWEN, D Boros. And even though the platform that we, as we've talked about, has a lot to be desired in terms of the way we communicate with one another, I still have an opportunity to network with people and share the information that I have. And so, Dr. Holly, the partnerships that I'm forming are with people such as yourself, with people like Dr. Fortman, who is going to be our guest in February, where we will be talking about when you're the only one, whether that's the only woman or the only Black in a business environment. Because I've experienced that. You all have experienced that at some point or another. And so we get to now where, you know, we want to share information. So you coming online, Dr. Holly, to share your experience is very much appreciated. I can't tell you enough. I can't thank you enough for your insight. Rory, being the only man in a sea of women, we value your insight because, you know, we cherish a man's point of view. We need that, women.
Well, okay.
We need that man's point of view because it's a balance.
Well, thank you, Jackie. But my mom had 7 sisters and 1 brother.
Wow.
So I grew up in a house of doting women, and I'm a little spoiled because of it. But you know, I my dad was what they call a real man, so he wouldn't let them spoil me, but so much, but. I appreciate the energy. I appreciate sisters and the thought that processes that you bring to the table. I appreciate the pain that you bore in order for so many folks to be successful. You know, I'm a proud supporter and even a bigger convert because I got daughters and granddaughters. So. Even some of that has changed my perspective about things.
And we appreciate that.
Yeah.
So. D, we can't see you, but we know you hear us.
I am.
And the fact that you are, did you say the Caribbean, right?
I am in the Cayman Islands.
Islands. I mean, that's so far. and I know that, you know, islanders, you know, sometimes they have a different perspective when it comes to their level of success. You know, they're hard workers, but they think about things a little differently than us Westerners, okay? And I've had that experience. And so, you know, we appreciate you being online as well. And, you know, what are some of your feedback that you have at this point?
No, some of what you guys said have resonated with me. So one, I have teams, you know, team members as well. I don't think they're employees, and I outsource quite a bit. But when I started my business around 4 years ago, it took a while, well, a bit of a transition to, you know, taking that leap of faith from corporate into actually running my business and having that monetized. Because, you know, although some of the roles that I'm doing are a bit of background, I worked in the hospitality industry for 12, 13 years and got stuck at GM because the little brown girl couldn't do the general manager role. I could only be the assistant and doing all the responsibilities of a general manager. And I did get burnt out. And then I did a second degree in accounts and financial services. And then I started to get into myself in terms of, you know, what's my purpose, delve into self-development. And I wanted to do more and be more. And so after my MBA, I just started my business full time. And, you know, that's where, you know, it's monetized and, you know, I'm paid for it officially. So it took a bit of while because working for somebody 9 to 5, I was in this regiment, and then, you know, staying at home or going to co-working space. And sometimes I didn't suit my personality because I'm outgoing and, you know, doing this one band thing until I eventually got accustomed to it. But in terms of, coming across different personalities, you know, you had to deal with, you know, and yeah, I do not like micromanaging. And when I realized it's getting to that stage, then I would obviously, not really get rid of the person, but nicely say, yeah, you know, not going to renew contract or whatever. That's about it, really. Back to the Caribbean thing, I've made it a point of my duty, for which I can't help, in highlighting certain stuff. Like, they're hard workers, don't get me wrong, but when it comes on to time management, and they're completely relaxed. I mean, in London, I can't be late for a meeting. I have to show up 30 minutes before, sit down, relax. No, seriously, Rory. But the island life, I'm like, you guys could not live in the US or in London, because you wouldn't have a job, have clients, bless them. But yeah, so that's it. But also what I am, especially now, what I can appreciate is, because I'm a big advocate for self-care and work-life balance. And I mean, if I can say to my clients, you need work-life balance because you're burnt out, then like a coach have a coach, right? So yeah, I'm living the talk, yeah, so I'm walking it. So yeah, there you go.
You know, Dr. Holly, I started the conversation about partners and mates about a negative experience that I had, but I want to also share with you this experience, share with everybody this experience. I had a major, major, thousands of dollar website redevelopment project, and it just so happened that I was able to find some developers in India. Okay, and these guys were very reasonable in their prices, okay, which allowed me to fit it into the budget and still be able to make some money, you know, for myself, you know, get that profit out of it. One of the major challenges was that when it was 12 o'clock in the afternoon there, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning here. And so we would have these late night meetings, but I had an online collaboration tool called Zoho that allowed me to not only manage the project, but to be able to communicate with these guys in India. And so we were able to complete that project and satisfy the client. And that was one of the great experiences that I had, because we were using online collaboration tools to be able to communicate. It made it a lot easier. And so, you know, that was one of the great experiences that I had in terms of partnership. I'm not married. I've been married a couple of times. And there are situations where I would love to be able to share information and get feedback. But as long as I have people like Rory, okay, who is a client, been a client for a long time, and now my budding relationship with you and Dr. Fortman and these other people, I think we can move forward in 2021 on a positive note, at the same time be able to be prosperous and make some money. What you think about that, Dr. Holly?
I think it's true. You know, we want to increase our social capital. And that basically just means that you want to increase the type of relationships that you have with people, so that they're able to support you and be a part of that community of, again, social influence and capital. So a lot of times in the past, it was like, oh yeah, let me pass out these business cards, let me network with people. But you also got to build up your social capital, these relationships that you build with people who, whether they work for you or not, but they have a business relationship with you. And that's really the real currency.
Wonderful. Wonderful. All right. Well, Dr. Holly, we appreciate you giving us that insight, and I appreciate you, Dr. Fortman, Rory, and Dee, for being online with me this evening. We're going to close out this sip and tip because I'm feeling it. I don't know about y'all, but I had to take a quick break. I had to take a quick break. Any last closing comments, Dr. Holly, that you have?
No, I think that everybody did very well with coming on tonight and sharing, because it takes a lot to kind of let people into that space and definitely receive any type of constructive feedback. So I'm just happy to be a part. I'm happy to, you know, provide that ongoing support and again, build that social capital with people.
Wonderful. And then that leads me to say, Dr. Fortman, you're up next. Coming up on February the 12th, where we talk about, you know, are you the only one or were you the only one? And we'll get into that and we'll start doing some marketing, get some information about that, get that out there, Roy. So in the meantime, then, I want everybody to pull the phone, get your phone up, because I'm Jackie R, hot and mobile. And we are what? We are hot. Come on, Dr. Holly, we hot.
I don't know what that is. I'm mobile. Listen,
you hot with them hot glasses.
Thank you. If anybody wants to connect outside of Dwin,
yes,
I am on LinkedIn. Now, Ms. Jackie, how you got the chat? It's only where you and I could send messages. I couldn't send it to everybody, but I am on LinkedIn and I'm on Instagram.
Wait a minute.
What is your first name?
My first name is Holly.
Oh, the last name.
My last name is Dr. Sawyer.
Sawyer.
Okay.
So what happened is when I sent out the link to the video and the podcast, I will include all of your contact information.
Okay.
Your website, great. Dr. Holly, your Instagram, your book. Everything that people can that need to be able to contact you. So I got you. Okay, so you hot now? You hot now?
Mobile.
You hot now?
You over there look like you fanning the, you waving the sun in. You got your,
cause
your
I'm flashes. Hot. Girl, look at me. Look at me, Rory. Cause I'm hot and I'm mobile. I'm hot mobile.
Well, ladies, it has been my pleasure to meet each and every one of you. Of course, Jackie's going to send out the information.
Yes.
On how you can contact me anytime, any place. You got any questions, just leave me a voicemail and say, hey, Rory, I may not have all the answers for you, but I'll do my best to see what I can do.
Great. It's been a pleasure meeting everyone.
Pleasure as well.
I hope we stay connected.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
What'd you say, D?
Yes. No, I said it was a pleasure as well. Is Dr. Fortman and Dr. Holly Dwin members as well?
Yes, they are.
Okay, I'll hook you up. So be sure to
connect with them. That's Dr. Janice Fortman, F-O-R-T-M-A-N, mm-hmm. and Dr. Holly Sawyer, S-A-W-Y-E-R.
I think I've sent you a request, a connection, Jacqueline. Just have a look. I think I sent you one.
Okay, I'll take a look. But if you on this Zoom meeting, then I already have your contact information.
Sure.
But I'll make sure. I'll check and make sure. So thank you all so much, Dr. Holly. Thank you so much.
Jackie, thanks for inviting me.
Yes. Oh, yes. Mary, you're invited anytime.
Okay, babe.
All right.
Take care.
All right.
So
you guys take care.
Holly, I'll get with you later.
Okay.
Okay, darlings.
All right.
Good night, y'all.
All right. Good night, everybody. Stay safe.
You too.
You too.
All righty. Bye-bye.